people of the internet. It is Dave. It is Duncan back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Gothenburg metal band Grayscale Season. The band's new album, Feel Something New, will be self-released on March 8th. So, album number 4 from Grayscale Season, which follows up their 2022 album, Do You Like Violence?
Oh, yes, you do.
Which we reviewed. This one, again, another independent release from the band. So again, thanks to the band for sending it over to us to check out. Massively appreciated. The album was recorded by Robert Kukla at Studio Fredman and Obsidian Recordings in Gothenburg, Sweden. For production duties, the band once again linked up with producer Buster Odholm, who produced, mixed, and mastered the album, but also...
In between running a record label, you know, playing in 17 bands, never sleeping, or seeing his family.
No.
The last is speculation, but...
Like the previous album, Buster also helped co-write the album with the band. Feel Something New is 8 tracks in length, clocks in at just over 27 minutes.
That's like walking past one of those buffets and seeing those like little, like if you're as old as me, those little Tron cocktail Volavons. And you're like, I'll just have one. Like that. I mean, it'd be rude. Someone spent time making this. I'll just have 7. you get the diabetes, Dave.
Diabetes.
A lot of sugar in that sauce. Well. Yes.
Back again to check out Grayscale Season. When I heard Everything Hurts back in 2019. I was blown away with what this band were doing on that album back then. And to be honest, I was kind of confused when I realised they were doing stuff themselves. But I was like, okay, fair enough. You know, they're fairly early on in their career. Just a matter of time before these guys get snapped up. Here we are on album 4 and still doing it DIY, Duncan.
Part of me respects the hustle on that, though. I think sometimes...
I respect it.
Yeah, I think there's... I think for some bands, the idea of having to navigate the waters of publication, press, release, to like all that stuff becomes overwhelming and it can fray at the edges. I think if you've already got a proven track record that you can do it and maintain a presence, then... Not that I'm telling the band never get signed, but what are you actually joining a record label for? But if you can manage to maintain it yourself, the rights all kind of fall back to you. Then you own everything that you do. So
I hear what you're saying. I do. I respect the decision. However, it kind of wrecks my head, to be honest, because the band that sound like this.
Should be huge.
They should be fucking massive. Way bigger than they are.
They should. It comes with a cost, right? Comes with a cost in that most publications, not Metal Epidemic, tend to prioritize things that are released by certain labels or in certain PR above others.
This band, imagine this band would slot perfectly into a Sharptone Records or a Rise Records, like easily. Yeah. They have a sound that would work with either of those labels.
Sharptone, Rise, if you want to hire us as A&R guys, we will do it for half the price that you're paying your staff right now. I don't even know what they're paying them. Let's just undercut them like fuck.
A quarter of what? I'll do it for nothing.
A free album is all it'll take. A free album and an email. And why are you pushing it? An email. Actually, an email that just says, good job, guys. Once a month. It can be auto-generated. It can be the same one every single day. Yeah, there is sadly...
Signing the contract.
There is sadly a dim side, and the dim side is that you... There is a glass ceiling to what they're doing.
Yeah.
Unless you go the other way. Bands that are successful at this kind of self-management thing are bands that have had 5 platinum albums on a major record label, and then it's run it, and they're like, that maybe we should just do it ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the name carries it through. It's very hard to break through it the other way around. Mm.
However, who knows? This one might be the one that changes everything. You never know.
You heard it here first. Dave says this will change everything.
It's going to change everything. This may change everything, to be honest, because once again, these guys have come back and delivered another absolute powerhouse of an album. I loved the last album, Do You Like Violence? I thought it was such a well-done album. My one criticism of that album, which obviously I mentioned in the review, was the length of the album. It was 13 tracks. It was about 50 minutes in length.
Dave, do we take... There's a certain point where all these similarities of us saying things and then bands employing them on albums. I'm not saying that they're listening to us.
Subconsciously, maybe.
Following the advice. I'm just saying that we're putting ideas out into the world and the universe is sorting it out.
Soaking it up.
I think my biggest gripe on the previous one was something similar. I felt like their formula would work better over a shorter distance. Mm. This is half the length, so...
Yes, it is. Half the length, yeah. So that was a huge tick in the box for me straight away. And I think because of that, I was much more inclined to go back to it and re-listen. And re-listen I did, Duncan. This was my most listened to album this week.
This is a rinser.
And for good reason, because it is fucking awesome. Imagine if you've never heard these guys before. Look, just have a seat, settle in.
Sit down, ladies and gentlemen. See, wherever you are right now listening to this,
have a seat.
Sit down. You might already be sitting down. If you are, raise yourself up a little bit and then sit back down. inclusive review. So.
Yeah. If you're in the supermarket, just have a wee seat.
Sit down in
no
the aisle.
No one's going to care.
Aisle 7 will be fine. No one's trying to get the peas. You're fine.
Yeah, that's fine. If you kind of took like the power and the weight of a band like the Acacia Strain,
weight is a great word, by the way.
Weight, yeah. Or like Heaven's Gate, pulled it together with like a bit of like Deftones, or even a band like Loathe, who have. That just, you know, huge melody,
yeah.
Huge atmosphere.
We're missing a section here. How do we close this circle?
Just close it.
All right, cool.
You have something that kind of... Oh, whoa, a little heart there, Duncan. Have something that... that'll give you, like, something that kind of resembles Grayscale Season, but not the full picture. These guys are so much more than just, you know, a few influences. There's something about this band that are very unique. Something about them that when you hear it, you're like, that's Grayscale Season. You know it straight away. And every release that they put out, it feels like they become more and more themselves. Once again, we have two members of the band doing vocals. So we have Eddie doing the heavier side of things, and bassist Adam doing the kind of clean melody on the album. Vocally, they've always...
You like just take that bass player and just have him sing on pop albums or R&B tracks forever, and I would be fucking happy.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of
insane. What baby's been made to that voice, if you know what I mean? That shagging voice.
Vocally, like, as far as I can remember, they've always been good. Incredibly well done vocally. You having a stroke?
No, as some bands do the melodic vocal thing, and I'm like that. Right, it adds a little bit of what you're doing, but it's fine like that. And then there's other bands where the separation between what the aggressive vocal is doing and the melodic vocal is doing that so. It's so different. That opens everything, like when used correctly, it opens an entire track up. Is that we talk about the like tracks that have light and shade, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like the moments that Grayscale, and they've always had it, when that melody kicks in is like the clouds parting and sun fucking burning your retina. You know what I mean? It's on that level. It's so against what you get before that everything's lifted, really.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
You're right.
I think this album vocally is next level. Like it's gone up the way. I think they've nailed the balance between the really guttural aggressive tones and those ethereal cleans, which for me the cleans are kind of like the ace in their sleeve. I think Adam's tone is unbelievable, like ridiculously good. But also his choice of melody is incredibly smart on this album. When they drop it in on this release, you can tell it's something you'd only hear from a band that are at a different, you know, writing at a different level. And that first track still hurts.
Oh, I know. See, when the melody kicks in, it is one of those ones where the melody kicks in, it's goosebumps. You know what I mean? Like the hair on my arm fucking stood up.
It was a total roller coaster of a track for me, because the way it opens up, it's like full of groove, heavy bounce, that thick, really thick drop tune sound. It just, you know, it hits you right in the chest, just, you know, massively. But then the track just opens up with these cleans and this like synthy atmosphere, and it sounds
sounds
massive. And I'll come to production later on, but this could be the biggest sounding album they've put out to date.
It's
massive.
See, if they've got Buster in helping them arrange tracks as well, it does make me think that, like, Buster is known for a particular sound.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think if he's helped in any way, shape, or form in terms of arranging these tracks, Guy is a little bit smarter than I've given him credit. He's already a guy that I respect for what he does, but I think specifically on this, compositionally speaking, this is a next level.
Yeah. So, I think the moment in that track that kind of had me just with my mouth open was when the acoustic guitar comes in with a piano and then just kind of swells into this massive riff and atmospheric vocals. It was a goosebump moment for me. I was like, holy shit. Like, they've managed to combine something so incredibly heavy, but at the same time make it so elegant. It's a key change that I wasn't expecting. But it's also a real like vibe change in the track that just hits with enormous power. As like opening tracks go, it could be the best thing I've heard this year. I was just like, wow. Like, the first track had me just like, where is this album going? Because
I also kicked like stress as well. There's nothing that sets it up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just boo do do. You're like what the fuck? Like, there's no four kick into it. There's no sound leading into you or anything. It just kicks off, and it's, I think, once again, smart songwriting that when the track like breaks into something else, you are not expecting it. It's the last thing you would expect, because the track has had no ears. Any other band would have had some kind of melodic building at the song, hit you with a heavy, and then go back to that later on, and that's the payoff to that intro. Yeah. And this is like, they had that maybe, and they were like, nope. We don't need it. We're keeping this under 30 minutes, lads, so let's just chop that off. And that's why it works, because it's so left field, but at the same time, it feels so right. Feels organically right.
It does. But as heavy and as like stunning as this album can be, it's incredibly catchy as well. It consumes me. It's not only like extremely hefty in the grooves department, but it's really hooky. Take Me One More Time lyric was just in my head. Like, I was humming it to myself even after it was finished. I think this album could be the catchiest thing they've done as well to date. However, if you just want a straight up destroyer of a track, then Verified is an absolute fucking mammoth.
It's a Verified banger.
It absolutely is. The guitars just kind of growl through that track. The pitch drops are insane. The vocals are very like back and forth between Adam and Eddie, which is really cool. And that riff at the end is just completely decimating. So low, really guttural sounding. And I love that they kind of hit you with different kinds of heavy. Like the track after Verify is a track called Hands. And it is just as punishing. But riffs-wise, they're adding in ideas that are much darker and much more kind of like ferocious in their attack. There's like little bits of like blast beats on the track that makes it feel like more on the more extreme side of things.
It's like smart deathcore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like deathcore has levels, right? They're generally all fucking heavy, but the reason like you're hearing the most punish, like this is the only thing I appreciate from deathcore, no offense. But I love the fact that you think you're hearing the heaviest thing you've heard on the track, and then somehow they find a way to drop it again. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
What would, like that. That like Hands plays with that, but in a smarter way.
Yes, it's not predictable or generic in any kind of way. Even like that kind of, it's got that kind of like tremolo style kind of pick guitars, really cool. And a little bit of piano at the end I thought was fantastic because it bled right into Delour, which starts with piano. So I thought it was a really cool like kind of transition into that track. And Delour is track five. It's kind of perfect, to be honest. Like it's really heartfelt. It's an emotional piece of the album where Adam is talking about his experience of becoming a father, which he also kind of touches on the final track as well. But his vocal delivery on that track is just really honest, very believable. I love the background synths, the electronic drums. It fits perfectly with that style of track. It's a kind of like stripped back moment of the album. So it's kind of giving you that moment to kind of take a breath before they kind of swing back in with the full band on Custom Painted, which again is a little lighter than some of the earlier tracks on the album. It's got a little bit of touch of like kind of post-hardcore on it, like kind of late 90s, early 2000s post-hardcore. I also like the little addition of electronic drums and synths again alongside those heavy moments which are scattered throughout the track to keep it, you know, as consistent as what came before. Okay, so the next track was a track called Gold.
Spandau Ballet cover, obviously. it's not.
No, it's not.
Take the piss, right? It was a wee joke.
My first listen to it, I was like, it got to the end of the track and I was like, okay. It was the first track on the album where I wasn't like completely gobsmacked and my jaw was kind of hanging off.
Because it inverts it.
It kind of does. I was kind of waiting on like a big moment. Like all the other tracks have like huge moments on it, and the big moment on that track didn't really come. And then I kind of went back to, as I said, I've listened to this album a lot, and I went back to it more and more. And every time I heard it, I was like, right, okay, this is like a slightly more conventional track on the album. There's no real like deviations or surprises, but there was kind of something in the simplicity of the melody that kind of started to get in my head, and it almost kind of like new metal in some ways of like the
very 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 new metal, Dave.
Right.
Yes, Dave. Yes, okay. Dave. In the sweet spot.
The chord progressions, the vocal melodies, I was getting that kind of vibe, but obviously very very like heavy guitars, giving it the grayscale kind of signature. So that track was definitely more of a grower, but after hearing the album, I've probably listened to this about 8 or 9 times, the track is completely grown. I mean, I actually really enjoy the track, and I like the way that it kind of sets up the last track, which is called Two. Two sounds like things were going to end on like the highest of highs. It's an absolutely killer track. It's full of like that kind of light and shade, the back and forth. There's bits of kind of blackened riffs in there. I'm sure I could hear strings at one point, but maybe not. Again, vocally, absolutely incredible. A really great emotional streak to it. Lyrically, like I was reading the lyric sheet, it's like poetry. Like the lyrics are unbelievable on this album. That first line, I was sold. Like the first line is, hair smells of adrenaline and fear. Sun-bleached skulls scrape the pavement like broken glass. And I was like, fuck me, this is fucking awesome. I was hooked on that alone. And then my first listen to the track, my first listen to the album, it ended and I was like, what? You didn't just end the album like that, did you? And I was like, what the fuck's going on here? So actually I was confused for a second. I was like, have I got the order of this album in the wrong way. Like, is this track supposed to be in the middle of the album or something? Like, and it was like, I was on Bandcamp looking at the listing. I was like, because the end of the track cuts, it's like an abrupt kind of cut to black right at the end. And I was like, checked out Bandcamp. No, right enough. That is the last track on the album. So it's clearly done on purpose, which definitely caught me off guard the first time. Subsequent listens to it, I knew it was coming, obviously, because I'd heard the album, and I was more prepared for the ending. And I kind of started to like the way that it ended after I kind of knew it was coming. It's one of those kind of like albums that almost kind of leaves you on a cliffhanger, like, and it kind of made me want to go back and give the album repeat listens, because I enjoyed the experience of it. This album is, it was much more of an instant kind of connection for me. It packs an absolutely massive punch. It hooked me in a lot quicker than the previous album did. I also think it is a more concise album from Grayscale Season, and I think the fact they've condensed a lot of this down, made it more compact, has made the album more intense and more hard-hitting. I think the heavier parts felt heavier, the emotional delivery felt stronger, and the production felt even bigger. I love the production from Buster. I think it's an absolutely chef's kiss of a production.
Might be one of my favourites from him because of the level of the dynamics in it between melody and the heavy. There's no disputing of all the producers out there when it comes to the heavy. Buster might just have like a moratorium of, I'm the gatekeeper of heavy, right? If you want like the heaviest breakdown ever, you come to me. What we don't get from him a lot is bands that really go for the elevated and, dare I say, the more kind of popular aesthetic.
Yeah.
He's not really known for that, but it's done incredible on this. So
I think, like, in the past, I think he's a tremendous producer. I think in the past sometimes the productions have been very clinical.
Yes.
But I don't get that at all on this album. I think he's left a lot of the kind of natural tone and space in the album as well.
Warmth.
Absolutely. It's got warmth. It's got, you know, room to breathe. Doesn't feel like overly edited or too, you know, kind of digitized. It absolutely hits like a truck. Like, it's absolutely huge. I kind of love this album, I'm not going to lie. Every time I hear it, I love it more. And I'm just like, someone fucking sign this band, seriously, for fuck's sake.
We don't know the background, so we don't know. Like, I can't imagine this band has existed for as long as they are on album 4 and they haven't had offers. Which makes me wonder if that's the band being selective of the best offer they can get, or maybe they don't want to be tied in contractually to something that forces them to do something they don't want to do.
Yeah.
So we don't know. Like, I'm with you. Like, if this is on a myriad of different labels, if only the guy that recorded this album had a label, you know, like a myriad of labels, like this band, but like, if anyone, like, trust, I don't think for one second that conversation has come up. Yeah. I think we are ill-equipped to understand why they're not signed. I don't think it's a case of people are sleeping on the band. I refuse to live in a world where someone isn't listening to the stuff they've done before and not got that, or we could shift units with this.
Yeah.
I think it's probably, and if the band are listening, feel free to give us clarity here on this one so we don't continue to sound like idiots. But I think it's probably more a choice of, we control what we do, we control when we do it, we're the masters of our own domain and we don't have to answer to anyone, rather than Gothenburg's best kept secret. You know what I mean? They even fucking come from a part of the world, a scene. Yeah. Like, Gothenburg's music scene is fucking ridiculous. It's the birthplace of fucking melodic death metal. So I think it's probably more the band are more selective of what they would entertain rather than.
Possibly. I know they don't do like huge tours and stuff like that. So maybe it's just, you know, they've got other things going on that they don't want to give, you know, all
for
the
context,
time away.
There's a time period not that long ago when we were in a band together where, as our band, maybe not necessarily me, but the remaining members of the band had decided that they didn't really want to do really anything out with like studio writing. That's where their heart was, and that's what I wanted to do. Some bands are just like that. Some bands are just like, you know what, I like the music, I like writing it, I like the production, and I like being in control of what we do when. And as soon as you hand that to a label, you lose about 75% of that. So there could be a bit of that as well.
True. What did you think? What was your take on this new one from Grayscale?
There really isn't a huge amount I can add on top of this one. I think this is a flawless album. I think this is the album for me where, and I haven't really enjoyed previous Grayscale season stuff. Granted, it went a little bit more long form, but I actually think this is where they found the balance of melody and aggression spot on throughout every single track. Some tracks, the melody takes more of a lead, and there are moments where there's even a track in this which predominantly melodic against it, but to me that the elevation is in the songwriting more than like they, we know they can sing, we know they can scream, they know, we know that they can break down bangers and write heavy riffs. The composition of this album is where it just became a different beast entirely. You've mentioned specifically other instrumentation, including synths, piano work and stuff like that is flawless on this. Like it's used in the best possible way, either to set up a melody that the melodic vocals will do later on, or it lifts everything in a track. We mentioned this already on a different review, but there is a band called The Architects out there, right? And people fucking loved that band, and then loved that band because, well, the fans that loved that band when they were heavier then kind of disappeared when they went more poppy, more melodic, and then they got a whole lot of other fans, and they're now in this position where they seem to be straddling a, if we do this, we'll lose audience members, but if we do this, we'll lose another group and all the rest, and they've kind of created a rod for their own back. Grayscale Season have always had this element of almost saccharine sweet melody, and at times it's delivered in such a way where it's more poignant and melancholic, and this very heavy, very groove ridden fucking like brutalness about them, and they've straddled that all the way through. The shining example of how to continue doing that, elevate your sound, make it more commercial without losing any of the grit that would lose you fans.
Yeah.
Like, you could never listen to this and say the band have sold out, yet they are, I would argue, the most commercial they've ever sounded, the biggest they've ever sounded. And that's a testament to understanding your sound and just getting better at doing it over time, as opposed to compromising elements that you kind of set out as your template and then got people in. Hands to me is a work of fucking genius. That is a track that really shouldn't work nearly as good as it does on the album. It's at the halfway mark as well. And like you mentioned before, it doesn't, it is very, very playful with heaviness in a way which, like, every time I thought, right, well, here's the drop, the drop's not coming here. Oh, right, that's a lot heavier than it should be. Oh, right, no, we're going up to right here. Where are we going? It just continually kept me guessing as to the structure of, and it's not, I'm not, when I say structure, I don't mean it's throwing fucking bizarre shit in there. It's not at all. It's very groove based and it's huge melody. But what it does with the guitar work specifically is it circumnavigates your expectations of where the heavy bit will come, and then heavies up riffs and parts which shouldn't be nearly as heavy as they are, but really work, and those are the bits that they counterpoint with a melody. It's just very, 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 very fucking smart. It's under half an hour, right? And that's a call I will always take, Dave. I'm like, what's this? It's not going to take a half an hour? Well, let's dial in. And it's just so Moorish. To me, I never had the same issue that you did at the end. To me, the end just felt like finality, and I kind of loved that. I knew how long this was going into it because I have a tendency nowadays, when I put the albums on my listening device of choice, I will scroll at the bottom, see how long it is, and that's how I plan out my listening. I'm like, or I could totally listen to this in this bit of time I've got, or actually, I have to do it over two listens, I'm not doing that. So I knew it was going to be short, so when it finished in the way it did, my first assumption was, right, so this is the first of a twofer, and we'll get something else later in the year, just knowing that the band released long form in the past. I love the way this ends. It kind of ends the same way it starts. Like, this starts with, we mentioned it, with no airs or graces. It kicks right into the riff. This kind of ends with a boom.
Yeah.
It doesn't fade out or anything. It just finishes on the note. And everything in between is lush and heavy and, like, elastic and full of dynamics and interesting and personable and soft and hard and emotional and dark, and it encompasses so much in such a short period of time. I'm not going to disagree with you. I think Grayscale Season should be fucking huge. Like, to me, this is the easiest marketed band that aren't on a major record label. This is a band that could, if they wanted to, be opening for in the main support of acts like Sleep Token or Loathe.
Yeah,
Loathe is the band that I always kept coming back to. Not that they sound like them, but I think they're the best fit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could be playing on God knows what tours and opening for God knows what bands, or eventually headlining those tours or whatever. The band have obviously made a choice somewhere. I respect that choice. The only way that we get to appreciate them is through the mechanism of the band kind of self-financing, self-releasing and including us in that mix. I'll fucking take that. I will tell them right now that I think personally at this stage in their career, four albums in, with an album that sounds like this, they should be these guys are world eaters. Like, honestly, you'll see it when it comes to the score, but like, there's nothing, there's not a second on this I would change remotely. It's a perfect listen from start to finish.
Okay, so final thing, scores for...
2.5.
I'll kind of love this, to be honest. Everything, like the length, the flow, the balance, you know, the hooks, the production... It also is one of the best opening tracks I've heard all year. These guys, they continue to bring something new to every album. They're always
reviews longer than this album.
Exactly.
Right?
They've knocked out the park again. Another killer release from Grayscale Season, and another reason that they should be way bigger than they are. It's a 5 from me. Duncan, what you say?
I love saying this sentence because every time I say it, it makes it sound like I'm getting easier at doing it. This is an easy 5. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love this because there's no debate.
Yeah.
There's no argument. There's no internal conflict. There's no having to be like, am I being too harsh? Am I being too kind? You know, there's none of that at all. This finished the first time and I was like that. Well, that's a perfect listen.
Mm.
You know what? I'm going to listen to it again just to confirm that I am right. And I got to the end of it and I was like that. Looks like I'm right. Which is something I never like to say to myself. Yeah, it's a 5. And what would you change?
Nothing.
You know what I mean? Like, what would you do different? There's absolutely nothing about this album that I would change a second of. And it is so Moorish that there's already a couple of albums that are getting a lot of traction with me this year in terms of revisits.
Yeah.
Granted, a lot of them are shorter in length, which helps. But yeah, I listened to this predominantly through a lot of my travel this week because it was very, very easy to listen to. And it made me feel something.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, 5. Well done, guys. Listen, if you don't want to be in a major record label, don't be on it. But see, if you do, please do it. please. Because someone and you, hopefully, will make a lot of money off this. And I promise this time that I will be checking out your merch and I will throw you something. And also, Scotland is not that far away from Sweden. It's literally, there's a small body of water and you can be here in an hour. So, come on. You know
what I mean? Come on. Grayscale Season, Feel Something New, out on March 8th. Links below to the band, to the pre-order. I'll put a link to one of the tracks as well. Have a listen, see what you think. High recommendation from us. Go ahead, check this one out. Show them some support. That is the review. Thank you for checking it out. Much appreciated. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Mm-hmm.